A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Beya Chaf Zayin, Beya 27b, pagination page 54. Towards the bottom of the page, about 10 lines from the bottom, Masnisin, a new Mishnah. Our topic here is doing business on Shabbos. Sometimes a person has to be able to take a product from someone else on Shabbos, which he intends to pay for. But it is delicate how the transaction should take place. In particular, it should not discuss money, but instead, we will simply keep track in some way of the product that was taken, and we'll deal with that after Shabbos or Yom Tov to calculate its price. Person has to borrow a portion of sugar. So sometimes it'll just be a borrowing between neighbors and they'll return sugar. Sometimes they might actually be paying back money. Certainly not to discuss the financial dimension, but instead you took a bag of sugar and don't discuss the price. The particular case that the Mishnah presents is going to be regarding dividing an animal for Yom Tov, where they're going to actually shecht it on Yom Tov. And this was obviously common before refrigeration, where they actually were waiting for enough commitments, and then they would shecht the animal and split it between the partners. If it would be done as a financial arrangement, where they're actually charging each person appropriately for how much of the animal they're taking, and money is being discussed, that would have to have been done before Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you can't do financial calculations. And instead, what we're going to see is they would simply divide the animal by fractions, by percentages, by portions. And then after Yom Tov, they would calculate the value of the animal and then discuss the money after Yom Tov, dividing the total appropriately. So let's see the Mishnah. Ein nimnen ala behema lechatchila b'Yom Tov. You can't do the calculations for the first time on Yom Tov. Avol nimnen alel me'erev Yom Tov. Either you could do the calculation before Yom Tov, or v'shochtem u'machalke b'neihem, or on Yom Tov, you could do it by shears and divide it between you. And then after Yom Tov, you'll figure out how much that shear translates into financial amount that you would have to pay. Says the Gemara, "May ein nimnin." What does it mean? You don't count people in initially on Yom Tov. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, "Ein poskim domim lechatchila ala behema b'Yom Tov." You're not allowed to do the financial calculation regarding the animal on Yom Tov. Hechi Ovid, what can you do? Amar Rav, Rav said, Nevi shtei behemos ma'amidim zu etzel zu. You could take two animals, stand them next to each other, come to the conclusion that they're basically the same type of animal, same size, same estimated price, but we're not discussing price, we're just saying these two animals are similar. V'omer zu kezu, and you could say, this animal is like that animal, we're going to shecht one of them, divide it, and after Yom Tov, the remaining animal can be estimated, calculated, priced, and then we'll be able to know how much it is that we should charge each of the customers, each of the partners. Tanya nami hachi, this is exactly what we learned. Lo yomar adam lachaveir hareinu imcha b'sela. A person cannot say to his friend, behold, I am with you with a certain coin, hareini imcha b'shtayim, or two such coins, that he's talking money on Shabbos. Aval omer lo, rather, what should he say? Hareini imcha, I am with you, lemechza v'lishlish ulerivya, for half, for third, for a quarter. He's taking a share, a partnership, and then we'll calculate the money after Yom Tov. Now, the overall prohibition of Mekach and Memkar business on Shabbos and Yom Tov is a fascinating topic. There are a number of sources that are given as to why financial dealings are prohibited. Let's think for a moment and realize why we need to explore this, because doing a financial deal with somebody really does not violate, or seems not to violate, any of the 39 categories that are so classic in Shabbos observance. You're doing a deal with somebody, you're exchanging product for a promise of payment. So you're not cutting something that's living from the ground, and you're not skinning the hide of an animal. Like, what are you doing exactly? So one reason that's given for this prohibition of business is Shema Yichtov, lest the person write. Normally in business, we record the transactions. So we're worried that if you'd be busy in business, or even not busy in business, even casual business dealings, you might come to write. Also, there's a pasuk in Nehemiah, which brings the source over here back to Jewish scripture, in which Nehemiah gives an admonition. He rebukes the people for dealing in business on Shabbos. Likewise, in the book of Yeshaya, we find a classic pasuk, "Mimitzo cheftzecha v'daber dover," that what you're involved with on Shabbos has to be different than what you're involved with during the week. Even your speech is going to be different. And therefore, there's certain things that you're not allowed to say, discuss, certain ways of conduct that are not acceptable on Shabbos. And business is one of those items that we're very cautious with. Perhaps, and this is another item that's cited, it really is ultimately sourced in the fact that Shabbos is described as Shabbason, a day of rest. And as such, conducting oneself on Shabbos as if it is no different than the other weekdays, the expression is business as usual. That in itself is a violation of a pasuk in the Torah, Shabbason. Perhaps only if a person is business as usual, not from any one business transaction, would there be a violation of Shabbason. But nevertheless, it's a definition of what Shabbos is about. And conducting one's business, even if it's not a violation of the 39 categories, it is a violation of what Shabbos is described as. Now, another topic which is related to this, we should just be aware of, is that sometimes we do need to keep tally of things that happened, sometimes even regarding money. People who get aliyahs might make a pledge, and we want to somehow keep track of that pledge. People who take product and intend to pay. So we're not going to discuss money on Shabbos, but we have to keep track of how much product they took. If you have a vendor who's giving out eggs on Yom Tov, people want, so they're not buying them, they're taking them, they're going to pay later, but he does have to keep track how many eggs were taken. And therefore, we have a variety of other ideas, options, which should be explored. Gaboim, for example, have specific pledge cards that perhaps they take from a color-coded pile of 18, 36, 72, 100, and put them in an envelope that's marked Shlishi, and they might even have a list of the members and put the member's name into that envelope as well. Different ways that we could try to keep track of things. Some solutions more well-founded than others. It's mentioned that if a vendor is trying to keep track of things, he should put a garin, a seed, a marble, into the customer's cup, for example, to record how much of something was taken, and then afterwards you'll count the marbles and you'll know how much the person is supposed to pay in order to clear his account. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.